Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. Today, I come to you solo, and today we're going to talk about maturing as a leader. So let's go ahead and jump right in. I'm going to use an analogy that we all know, because if you're listening to this, then you've been an infant child or a baby, or you've had a baby and you've been able to experience this as an observer. So when we think about our leadership journey, it reminds me a lot of how we grew up as humans, right? As babies, we are entirely dependent on others to feed us. And when we cry when we get hungry, and somebody just shows up and feeds us exactly what it is that we need. And there's no thought about where we're going to get this food from or how it's prepared. We simply just receive it. And so we're going to talk about the four stages that I believe are, you know, the stages that we see as we're maturing as leaders. And the first one is the dependent leader. This is when the baby is being fed. So that's stage one. Stage two is the learning leader, where the baby is now learning how to pick up the spoon. And maybe it's not a baby, maybe it's a toddler, but learning how to pick up the spoon and trying to feed itself. Stage three is the independent leader, when you're starting to prepare your own food. And stage four is the nourishing leader. This is when you start to learn how to teach others how to feed themselves and you feed others. So jumping right into this, and I want to preface this with the reason why this episode came to mind is because I find that in coaching, I coach a lot of leaders who are either in stage one or stage two, and yet they're looking for growth or they're looking for advancement. And it's very hard for their leader to actually give them that advancement or to actually think that they're ready for that if they're still being fed, if they're still waiting to be told what to do in order to go do it. And this is not necessarily being told what to do in your day-to-day. This is being told, here are the goals and here's how I think you should hit them. Here's the process. Here's what needs to be fixed. Those types of things, when you're in your role for at least 6 months, you should start to understand what needs to be done. You should understand the goals of your company or your department, and you should start to already take the initiative to get those things done. And so I find that a lot of people are good at being in stage one or stage two because there's not much thinking or risk that's involved with that. And once they've stayed there for, you know, a year or 2 years, they're looking for advancement. But as a leader myself, I'm not going to advance you because I don't want to have to stay in stage one or stage two again with you for the next 1 to 2 years. So at some point you have to figure out, or you have to ask the questions or seek the information on how you can take the baton, take the role, and make it its next thing in your flavor, in the way that you do it. The reason why you've been hired anyway is to lead the way you lead. And so I wanted to kind of put something together that could be quick and concise for people to understand what stage they're actually in. So stage one is the dependent leader. This is when the baby's being fed. This is usually in the early stage of leadership. This could also be in the stage where you're in a new role now. And so you have to, again, go into stage one, because if you don't know what that department needs, or you've haven't been exposed to what it is that they, what the results that they're looking for or the goals are, then you need to be fed those goals. You need to be fed the expectations. You need to be told what to do in order for you to kind of get the hang of it and get the grasp and start to move in that direction. Anytime you go into a new role, you should automatically assume that you're going to be in stage one. How long you are in stage one is completely dependent on you and your learning curve and how much you know of the organization, the department, et cetera, et cetera. Right? In this stage, we're constantly looking for reassurance, validation, and direction. We need it because we really don't know where to go. We depend heavily on our mentors, our managers, and the resources that they give us, because again, without that, without the map, we don't know what to do. And we might even expect to problem solve or for the problems to be solved for us. Because for me, what I like to do is to sit back and observe and watch how my leader likes to resolve issues, and then resolve those issues in their manner, with my flavor, with the way I do it, with their result in mind, but the way that I know how to get things done. And so in this stage, you're kind of watching how problems are solved, how meetings are ran, what the objective is. And this stage is not a bad stage. It's a very natural stage. As I said, anytime you move up in another role, you're likely going to be back in stage one, at least for a little bit. And it's okay, because it should only be the beginning. right? But just like an infant who can't prepare their own meals, a new leader can't fully anticipate the needs of the team, of the organization. And so it's hard for them to take ownership and see the bigger picture here. Moving on into stage two is the learning leader. This is where you're learning to hold the spoon. Over time, you start to reach for your own spoon and you try to, you know, in this role, in this stage, you're going to make a mess, right? You're going to start to test your own ideas. Some of them are going to work. Some of them are not. Remember, failure is not a moot point, right? It's just more data. Mistakes are just data. So this is where you could see the baby with all the food over their face and the bib on, and the parents are usually just letting them make the mess because they understand that in this stage, they're aiming for their mouth, but they may not reach it. They're going to get it all over them. And that's okay. If you're a leader and you have someone at this stage and they're making a mess, it's okay. You're there to help guide them where the result is, where the goal is, how you want this to be seen. In this, as a leader in stage two, you have to be willing to make the mess of the process, right? This is the messy part. This is like the terrible twos or ones. I don't have kids yet, but this is where you're at, right? You're trying to feed yourself, but you still need someone close by all the time to help guide you. Again, this stage is a little messy because you're growing your skills. And in growing and stretching, things are going to get a little wild. Things are going to get a little messy. You're learning to trust your own instincts and you're realizing that you don't have to be perfect to make progress. And so I particularly love this stage because I know that we've moved out of stage one and we're into stage two where they're now trying their own thing. And that tells me that there is likely to be progress made into getting into stage three. But, you know, we have to be very careful here. We're in stage two. In stage two, you do have to know what the goal is. If you don't know what the goal is, then you're just making a mess and you're not making any progress. So I encourage you, if you are in stage two, to make sure that you understand what the goal is so that you can start to move in that direction that your leader either wants you to or the organization needs you to. Yeah. So moving on into stage three, this is where you become the independent leader, where you start to prepare your own food, because eventually you want to mature enough into the leader who doesn't wait for someone to hand them the answers, who doesn't wait for someone to show them the direction, because you as a leader have to have your own direction. If you don't have direction as a leader, you're not leading anything or anyone. You're just standing still. Leading is actual and it is an action. Leading is an actual action. So if you don't have the vision of where you would like to go and you're just doing the day-to-day stuff, you're not making progress. And for that, you're just managing. And so we can have people do that for far less money than they're paying you likely, right? And so your goal is to actually lead, to steer the ship, okay? In this stage, you're proactively looking ahead. You're anticipating the needs. You're making decisions. You're making decisions not in a vacuum. You're making decisions collaboratively with your team, because you still in this stage, in any stage really, can't anticipate all the things. I love to collaborate. I'm a high collaborator myself, but I love to ask the teams that I work with, what are we missing? What could we do better on? And how do we do it? Because there are things that I don't see in the day-to-day that they do because they are the subject matter experts. I am not. And then when I go to make a decision, I always preface it with, if this decision is dumb, don't let me make a dumb decision. Let's talk about it. Give me your devil's advocate reasoning so that I can see that I am not just making this decision with those horse blinders on and that I think I know the right thing. And so we debate it, but I often tell people, if you allow me to make a decision and then a few months later, I find out that the decision was bad and that you knew the whole time and you didn't tell me, we're definitely going to have a conversation, because I'm okay being wrong all day long as we're making progress, right? If nobody has a good suggestion, if nobody has a rebuttal, if nobody has the devil's advocate response, then sure, yeah, I'm going to make the decision and we're going to move in this direction and we'll see what happens. But if you know something or you think something or intuitively you have an idea that could be different than mine or in the opposite direction, you should absolutely speak up. And so I know I got it off on a tangent, but I think it's important for you as a leader to be a collaborator and to ask for advice, because you likely don't know it all and you're not supposed to. That's the best part about leadership, right? So in this stage, again, you're taking the initiative. You're also starting to develop others because you realize what it is to feed yourself. And so you want other people who are in stage one to get to stage two, and then of course get to stage three. In this stage, you start to trust your ability to nourish yourself mentally, emotionally, strategically. And so you start to become the person who is not only feeding yourself the junk food that we loved in stage one and stage two, but also eating everything that you need, which is, you know, let's say vegetables are the feedback. So this is what we just talked about, right? You're knowing that you need feedback, honest feedback, in order for you to be better. And so you start to ask the hard questions, or you start to allow people to tell you the hard things, because you know that that's something that you need in order to become the type of leader that you would like to become. And if we're going to analogy this back, you know, you need the vegetables, you know, just like Popeye back in the day, to become strong, big and strong. And so you're going to eat your vegetables. You're going to nourish yourself so that you can become the person that you've always wanted to become as a leader. And then stage four is the nourishing leader. This is where you start to feed others. And this is the final level of maturity. And it's because it's like the 12-step program, right? And every program that you're starting off, like in stage one, you get to the stage where you start to give back to the community. You start to give back to others. This is where you become a coach or a mentor. You become the guide that we talked about in stage two. You model the mindset and the behaviors that you once had to learn. And you put your own little twist on it, you know? Because you want to make it yours. You in this stage, you help create environments where others can grow from dependence, to independence, and then to interdependence, which is interdependence is being able to be independent and also work with teams in harmony, right? Leadership maturity is not just about your own self-reliance. It's about helping others find their own strength as well. And in these four stages, I want to just let everybody know that you don't have to go to stage four. You should go to stage three as a leader. That should be your objective, but you don't have to go to stage four. Not everybody wants to be a coach, a mentor, or a guide, right? And that's okay. Obviously, this is your own journey. The only reason why I wanted to bring this episode forth was because I wanted people to start to be able to reflect on where they are as a leader and where they think they're stuck, because you're likely just stuck because you are still waiting to be told what to do and you don't know how to take the initiative. And even that is a question. Like, that is a question that you should be asking your leader, is how can I take more initiative? What are the things that you're looking for me to start to do without you having to tell me, without the monthly report telling me that, without the weekly report telling me that? What are those things? What are those things that I can do to help grow, right? Because we want to normalize this growth process. Going from stage one to stage four is completely normal. If we think about, again, the child, when they're learning how to walk or they're learning how to eat, and we're all okay with that. We're all okay with them falling. We're all okay with them making a mess. But something happens when we become an adult and we step into a leadership role. And it's like we automatically think that we should know all the things. And we're never going to know all the things. Again, you're constantly going from stage one through four in your career, as long as you're climbing the ladder, right? You have to be able to understand that needing guidance doesn't make you less of a leader. It doesn't make you weak. It means that you're in the process of becoming. So growth, having that growth mindset, is giving yourself the ability to be bad at something. Be bad at something so that you can eventually get good at it. You can never get good if you don't let yourself be bad at it first. You know, and so in the highlight of this episode, I want you to start to ask yourself, right? Am I waiting to be fed? Am I learning how to feed myself? Or am I helping others learn to cook? And this is going to tell you what stage you're in, depending on your answer. And there could be a mix of things, right? And I do believe that this is true, where in some categories you're waiting to be fed, and in other categories you're learning how to feed yourself. And then in others you're teaching and you're training and you're mentoring people. And so to know where you are in all those categories is super important. I don't want you to just say that you are this one thing. If you can find where you're excelling at, or where you're in stage four, where you're in stage three, where you're in stage two, where you're in stage one. And that should give you a very good reflection on what you should start to work on should you want to grow, right? Because again, me as a leader, if most of your categories are in stage one or stage two, you're clearly telling me that you're not ready for the next level, because you're not in stage three, or at least in stage four. And at least in stage three, let alone stage four. Because to get to the next role, guys, you have to be completely independent. The reason why stage four is important is because you want to be able to coach and mentor and guide your replacement. In order for you to be able to grow, most people hear this all the time, you've got to replace you before you want to go somewhere else. And it is two things, I think. It's one, so that your leader doesn't have to do the whole thing to replace you, right? Go through all the motions and all the things. But it's also that you can demonstrate that you know how to teach someone your role, that you know how to tell someone how to step into whatever you're in. Because that's a telltale sign that you are quite ready for the next role. And again, here's one of the notes that I wrote. And just like a child who likes to try new foods, leaders, you should be okay with trying new approaches. There's no way you're going to know who you are or what you like or what fits best for you if you don't try different things. I can't emphasize enough on making sure that you find your own way through leadership. If you're stuck, we help people that are stuck. So if you are stuck and you think that nobody sees you, or you think that you're, you know, knocking on the glass ceiling and nobody's letting you in, let's have a conversation, right? I believe we have like a questionnaire on our website that can help identify the gap of where you are versus where you want to be. And the most important question on that questionnaire is, what could you do right now that wouldn't matter if they noticed or not, right? Because the reason why I added this question is because I feel like we get really caught up in wanting to be seen, wanting to show, or wanting to demonstrate that we are ready for the next level. And when it's not happening for one reason or another, we start to get really fixated there. And so what I always find is when I get really fixated on not being seen or not being recognized ready for the new role, I take a step back and I start to ask myself, what else could I be doing within my sandbox that wouldn't matter if they noticed or not? Because I feel like we just take our focus off of the bigger picture, off of the employees that we're here to serve, off of the needle that we can move, and we start to focus in on ourselves. And that could be a little daunting, because if we're not being seen or if people are not giving us our flowers, then we start to create stories, and those stories are not helpful. And so just by that little shift of, what else could I be doing? Yeah, they can't see me right now. That's okay. That means that there's more work to do here. What else could I be doing in this place that'll allow me to refocus? And 9 times out of 10, that puts me back into the momentum that I've always needed. And then we move forward, and eventually I will be seen, and eventually I will be able to move forward and promoted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? The goal is not just competence, it's confidence. And so as you learn to pick up your own spoon, as you learn to start your own process, confidence is the only thing that'll help you keep going. You have to have the confidence in yourself. The way that you can grow this confidence is remembering all the times you were in stage one and all the times you got to stage 3 and 4. And every time you have to go to stage one, just remember that you've been through this before and you can and will get to stage 3 and 4 if that's your goal, right? Again, I invite you to question what stage you're in, what step can I take this week to move to the next goal? Because that's what's important, progress. If you're not making progress, you're standing still. And if you want to stand still again, that's okay. It just has to be your objective. You can't stand still and then wonder why you're not getting recognized or promoted or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Often we reward progress. And so if you want to progress, then you need to know where you are and where you want to be and fill that gap. Because as you grow as a leader, I want you to remember this. Leadership maturity is not about having all the answers. This is why we collaborate. It's about the courage of picking up the spoon, the patience of learning the recipe, and the generosity it takes to pass on what you've learned. Because when you nourish yourself, you also have the capacity to nourish others. And that is where true leadership lies. And with that, we're going to end this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. If you liked it, please like and subscribe. Share the episode if you thought it was helpful or it could help someone else. Thank you again for listening, and we'll catch you next time on another episode of Leadership from the Heart.